We praise God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And indeed, it is always an honor and a blessing to listen to God's word. And today we will look at the encounter of Jesus and Mary Magdalene. And we really want to explore and see the resurrection, because the Bible tells us that the first person that Jesus revealed himself to after his resurrection was Mary Magdalene. You know, the book tells us he appeared to the women first, but then we can see in the book of Mark and also in the book of John that there are two written encounters that tell us that it was Mary Magdalene of the women who he appeared first. And maybe we'll just start with Mark, so that because it's shorter, then we'll go to John, where there's a detailed account on that. So in Mark chapter 16, there are three verses there, 9 to 11. It says, Mark chapter 16, verse 9 to 11, it says, "Now when he arose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe her." So now, the book of Mark already gives us an encounter that Mary was the first one who saw Jesus on the first day of the week. And we can see it is described that she is the one of whom the Lord had cast out seven demons. Now, if we go to John, and we're going to go to the book of John, and we'll read from chapter 20, and we'll start from verse 11 up to 23, we are going to see the encounter of Jesus and Mary Magdalene. Now, the Bible says, "But Mary stood outside the tomb and weeping. And as she wept, she stooped and looked down in the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet." Now, this is very important. "One at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him, 'Rabboni,' which is to say, 'Teacher.' Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her." Maybe let me pause there for now, and so that we can reflect on what we are seeing. Now, the Bible tells us that, you remember, the women went to the tomb, and then they were asking, "Who will roll away the stone for us?" And then they found that they went and they were able to see that the tomb was rolled away. The stone in the mouth of the tomb was rolled away. Why? Because an angel had descended from heaven with a great earthquake, and he had rolled the stone and he had sat on it. Now, the Bible tells us that now, when they were wondering what had happened to the Lord, the women went back, but then Mary stays weeping, you know. And as she looks inside the tomb, what does she see? She sees two angels. Now, remember, there's so many angelic activity that is happening, and that is why you'll see either two men, or you'll see the big angel, or you'll see the young men. Because why? The ministry of Jesus was always characterized by angels. Even at the cross, even before Pilate, he said, "Don't you know that I can ask at this point for 12 legions of angels, and they shall be accompanied?" You know, and remember what he told Nathanael, "You believe because I saw you under the fig tree, but you shall see the angels ascending and descending over the Son of Man. You know, what we will see greater things than this. And so what we see is that now Mary sees inside, and then she sees the angels, the two angels, one at the head and one at the feet. But then when she sees that, Jesus appears behind her. And you know, remember, this is in a garden. Eh? Now, when she said, she turned around, and she did not know that it was Jesus. It is interesting how she did not know. And this is to tell us that, you know, when Jesus resurrected, he is revealed. And that is very important that for you to understand that the risen Savior is revealed. That means that he reveals himself to those he has chosen. Remember, he cried out, I have revealed you to those that you gave me and to those that I have chosen. So Jesus reveals himself. Remember, even, and we'll be able to see later on the road to Emmaus, that they walked with him, but they did not recognize him until he revealed himself to them when their eyes were open. And likewise, when she asks Jesus, asks Mary, why are you crying? And this is very important for us to see. Weeping, the weeping of Mary always moved Jesus. And we are going to look and see how Mary wept and it moved Jesus. Now, she asks, whom are you seeking? Now, she supposed him to be the gardener and said to him, say to Jesus, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. Now, I believe the calling of Jesus to Mary by her name, because the gardener will not have known the name of Mary, but by the fact that Jesus called out Mary by name, she recognized him. She turned and said to him, Rabboni. And remember, this is Aramaic, for which is to mean teacher. And then, so she recognizes him and she turns to Jesus. But then Jesus tells her something that is very important. She says, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Now, why do I say it's very important? It's because we often assume that we are often taught that Jesus ascended to heaven. You know, I mean, that we see in Matthew 28 towards the end, 19 to 20, where he ascends publicly before them. But what we see from the scriptures, it seems there were two ascensions. And it's important that we see why is it that there were two ascensions. Now, the first ascension that we see is where Jesus ascends to take his blood to that tabernacle that is not made by human hands. Remember, the tabernacle on earth was made as a shadow of the realities that are in heaven. Now, Jesus tells Mary that do not hold on to me. And it is very important because at that point, he is carrying his blood. Remember, when he shed his blood, the ground took up that blood. And when the ground that had never tasted the blood of a righteous man, remember for Abel, when he took the blood, it cried out. It cried out, the blood of Abel cried out to God that, I mean, vengeance, revenge for me. But now Jesus, when that blood poured on the ground, there was an earthquake that even the centurion said that surely this was the Son of God. This is the Son of God, because they greatly feared, and there was darkness and there was an earthquake and the curtain tore open. And the Bible also tells us that the tombs of righteous men opened in Jerusalem, and they went, and many people met them, and they went into Jerusalem. Now, that was very symbolic of the resurrection that will take place. Now, but Jesus says very clearly, do not hold on to me. Later on, I mean, in these same verses, we see that he comes to the disciples in the evening, and he tells them to hold me. You know, he tells them, you can touch my hands, you can touch my feet, that, you know, a spirit does not have flesh and bones. Now, he tells them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. And this is very important. It's, now, Jesus, when he resurrects, he calls his the disciples my brethren. Now, this is also a very important theme, because when Jesus resurrects, he is not ashamed to call us his brethren. And the Bible tells us that we are conformed to the image of the Son. We are made like him. And that is why he is not ashamed to call us brothers. Why? Because Jesus is the first fruits from the dead. He is the first fruit, first kind that arises. Why? Because Jesus gives birth to the new man, to the new creation, in that he becomes the first that have resurrected from the grave. And remember, we too, we died with him, we were buried with him, and we are also resurrected with him. And that is why when he comes forth, he becomes the first of a kind unto God. Remember, it's a new creation that are purchased by the blood, by a purchased in, they become the new man. And he says he has to ascend. Now, he, as he ascends, he now says, now, God is no longer my Father alone. Remember, it is Jesus alone who introduced to us God as my Father. Now he says, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and to your God. And the Bible says that then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this to them, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, what we see is that he has ascended to heaven. He has taken his blood. Remember, he told Mary, don't cling to me. He goes with the blood. And the Bible, even in Hebrews, that is something that you can read in Hebrews, where the Bible tells us that he sprinkled the heavenly things. It was necessary that the heavenly things be sprinkled with that blood. And this you can read in Hebrews chapter 9, where actually if you look at the entire chapter, it gives us, maybe even from verse 11, it says, but Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, and with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all. And this is the Holy of Holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. So what we see is that Jesus, in the first ascension, he takes his blood and enters the most holy of holies, and he offers it, he sprinkles it there, and that blood is accepted by God. And he obtains that eternal redemption. And the Bible says it's through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot. Then now, he now comes back to his disciples, and then now he tells them, now you can touch me. And even if we read, he tells them that, go and tell my brethren that I will meet them in Galilee. So he goes to heaven and comes back, and then he's able to meet his disciples. Now, it's very important that we see that Mary Magdalene, what was unique about Mary Magdalene? I know there are some corrupted people who try to say that Jesus had a relationship with Mary Magdalene in that he was a wife, but that is not true, and the scriptures dispute that, and these are really demonic people who do that. But I just want you to see that Mary is someone who had been forgiven much. Now, why do I say that? One, she is one of whom the Lord had cast out seven demons. Now, this we already read, that the Bible says that Mary is the one of whom the Lord had cast out seven demons. But there's also something unique about Mary. Now, this you can see in Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. The Bible tells us that now it came to pass in Luke chapter 8, afterward, that he went through the city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. Now, look at what God describes Mary was. That Mary, and among other women like Joanna, the wife of Chuza, who was Herod's steward, and Susanna, these are women who had provided from their substance for the ministry of Jesus. And they used to give to the ministry of Jesus. So one thing that we see from Mary, she was a giver. Now, there's also another thing that you see about Mary Magdalene, is that the Bible describes her as the one who anointed Jesus in Bethany. Now, she's also called Mary. She was the brother of Lazarus. Now, the Bible tells us in John chapter 11, verse 1 to 3, the Bible tells us that now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now, therefore, the sister sent to him, saying, "Lord, behold, whom you love is sick." Now, if you jump in that John chapter 11, if you jump to verse 32, we see that where Mary comes to meet Jesus, when Jesus has come, when Lazarus had died. Remember, the Bible tells us that Lazarus was dead in the grave for 4 days. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have been died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came weeping with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" And then, of course, Jesus groaned in his spirit, and then he told them to take away the stone. Now we can see that Mary was a worshiper. Now, she called out to Jesus, "Please come, the one whom you love is sick." And when Jesus comes, she falls down weeping at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus is moved in his spirit and is troubled, and he goes and raises Lazarus. So we are seeing that really Mary, not only was she cast out seven demons, she is also the one who cries at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus is moved and raises his brother. And then when you go to chapter 12 of John, we can see from verse 1 that Mary is the one that anoints the feet of Jesus. The Bible says, "Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead, there he made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary," remember it's Mary Magdalene, "took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who will betray him, said, 'Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?' This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. Now, this fragrance oil, this spikenard oil, was so valuable that women will keep them just for their wedding day. You can imagine how valuable it was, because some historians say it came all the way from India, and by the time someone sold you, they have gone through all that trouble. It was very costly, and you can see even the price is given, 300 denarii. Now, she poured that, and it anointed the feet of Jesus. Now, if you look at the Gospels, and maybe if you do a study on it, you'll see that Matthew and Mark refer the home where Jesus was anointed. They all speak that it was in Bethany, but they say that it was in the house of Simon the leper. Luke says it was in the house of a Pharisee. Now, if you try to analyze all that, what you need to ask yourself is, it's either Simon the leper was the same as Lazarus, or they are two different people. But then if you try to ask yourself from the authorship of all the Gospels, for me, I'll conclude that John has the most accurate, on the basis that, yes, Mark was written first, but Mark was written by John Mark, who was the servant of Paul and Barnabas. And this is later on. And then Matthew was written after that, and Matthew copied a lot from Mark. And Matthew, it's assumed to be Matthew the tax collector, but not necessarily. It was actually a name, but the early church assumed it was Matthew. But then if you look at Luke came to recollect it later, and for him, he tried to follow. And Luke also is in the time of Paul. But John, remember, John was a disciple that Jesus loved, and John was present when this event happened. So for me, John gives the most accurate account. But this is something that you can study, and you can see what the scriptures say. But what is most important, what are we seeing, is that, one, we see a woman that was deeply concerned about the ministry of Jesus. One, she gave of her substance. One, she was healed from 7 demons. One, she also, and also another thing that we see is that she also poured the alabaster oil. She had already prepared for the burial of Jesus. She had anointed his feet, and Jesus ensures that she is the first to see him when he is resurrected. Now, remember in the Garden of Eden, the serpent deceived the woman. Now, it was necessary for Jesus to restore the woman by ensuring that when he resurrects in the garden, to also meet a woman first. And that is why he meets Mary Magdalene first. Well, the men will not have believed them. That's up to them. But Jesus shows that he comes to correct where the woman had failed. And he now brings back. And what we see, you know, I know in redemption, we don't do anything for the kingdom of God. I mean, we don't do anything for redemption. It is the work of God. But in the kingdom, there are things that we do that also move the heart of God. So there's always something that changes whenever now you enter the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, we all are given different ranks based on our efforts, based on what we do, based on the good works that God had prepared. And this is why we are encouraged to do much more for the kingdom of God. And we can see how much she gave for the kingdom of God, that the Lord says that to whom has been forgiven much, loves much. So I'll stop here for today, and I pray that God will give us more insight into this life of this woman, and also to see how we've seen the ascension of Jesus, the first ascension of Jesus, and what he is able to establish and to give us truth for today. So I'll stop there, and I pray that God will give us more understanding. My brother, you're welcome.
Nothing to add for myself.
Oh. Okay, thank you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the study that you've given us. We do not take it for granted. We know that it is you that has given us the insight, the understanding, and I pray for my listeners. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. The Lord, you give them this heart to see what you're saying, to understand, and to be committed in the things of the kingdom, to know that, Lord, indeed you are faithful. You are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you, and everyone that desires to know you, that desires to have you, that, Lord, you are able to bring them. And indeed, him that is forgiven much loves much. Thank you for them that are consistently seeking you, because they know where you have brought them, where you have picked them, and that, Lord, you forgive to the uttermost. Thank you for the blood that you shed, that you indeed you call us brothers, and indeed you call us the God our Father, your Father and our Father, and for that we are grateful. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've called and you've poured out unto us without measure. And indeed I pray for them that are sick, that may the blood speak for them. It speaks better things than the blood of Abel. For them that need forgiveness of sins, may they receive forgiveness this morning. For them that need answers, may they experience the blessings of the new covenant today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed morning ahead. Bye-bye.